Senator, how are you?
Doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Where are you this morning?
I'm in Washington.
And I heard you got a lot of rain there, but you didn't get the ice and snow that might have been coming that
way. Yeah, we missed it.
Well, tell me, I want to get your thoughts about what's going on over in Egypt.
Well, what's going on is a long, boiling resentment against Mr. Mubarak is just exploding, but it's also obvious that what looked like a very, very unified opposition also has some problems, and there's going to be some violence between some of the people there. That's going on, or went on, I guess, today, and it's just unclear where this all leads. Hopefully it leads to a transition, which is prompt and leads to democratic elections, but I wouldn't want to predict with certainty other than to say that what's certain in that part of the world is uncertainty.
Does it put you and the other senators and the United States in a precarious position because that's been an ally of ours? You don't want to necessarily kick the president out the door, but it looks like the people have spoken.
Yeah, I think the president has set the policy right, so is the Secretary of State. Basically is that there needs to be a prompt democratic transition, but there's also, I think, an awareness that Egypt has been an ally and hopefully will continue to be an ally. So you've got to both make it clear whose side we're on without putting a stick in the eye of people who have generally been supportive of us. So I think both things can be accomplished, and both things were accomplished in the president's statement.
I wanted to get your take on health care. Congress has spoken. I wanted to know if you thought that this item should be taken up in the Senate. I know that you supported it, and it probably wouldn't face much scrutiny in the Senate, but there seems to be a lot of support that there are problems with the health care package, and some changes should be made. What's your take?
Well, changes need to be made in every major piece of legislation, and they will be made as time goes on. But there's parts of this bill that are essential to just about everybody's health. We have in this bill a prohibition on insurance companies denying people coverage for pre-existing conditions. There's provision in our bill, which is now law, which stops insurance companies from unilaterally and arbitrarily putting caps on people's coverage, which results in the fact that most of the people who go bankrupt in this country go bankrupt because they can't pay their health bills. And most of those people have health insurance, so that insurance companies have had too much power. We've trimmed that power. People say this is a government takeover. That's completely wrong. It is not a government takeover in any sense of the word. But there are some provisions in this bill which are very, very important, not just for the people who don't have health insurance, who I think we all should want to have health insurance for all of our sakes, not just theirs, but there's some very important provisions in the law that protect those of us that have health insurance. So we're not going to repeal this law in the Senate. We're going to fix the parts that need fixing.
I know that you are a member of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, and a report has been released, and there are some alarms and some concerns about the northern border security.
Yeah, well, the report had a lot of positive things in it, but it also indicated that there was some areas where the Border Patrol folks were not communicating with the customs folks, and we can't accept that. And both the officials of both of those agencies said that there are some problems in terms of being willing to share information. That's totally unacceptable. Our borders need to be secure. They're going to be secure if we have anything to do say about it. And so I was concerned very much about that part of the report that came out yesterday by the GAO, the Government Accountability Office.
You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. We're talking with United States Senator Carl Levin. Senator, wanted to get your take on the budget deficit, and more specifically, the deficit that the United States faces. There's credit challenges. How important is it for this to be addressed in the short term?
It's important both in the short term and in the long term that we address the deficit. We got to do it in a way which is realistic, which is credible, which is honest. We can't keep borrowing the amount of money we have from the past. The decision of the Bush administration to provide tax cuts mainly to the wealthiest among us is the biggest cause of this, the second biggest cause of our problem. Is that we have spent more money than has come in, and we can't continue to do that. We've got two wars that we've been fighting without paying for them. That's been a major cause of this deficit. Hopefully one of those wars, the Iraq war, will be over in the next by the end of this year. We'll have all of our troops out of there, and then we'll begin to reduce troops in Afghanistan starting in July if the president's order is carried out. So there's a lot of work to be done here. It should be done on a bipartisan basis. But it's very important that we tackle this deficit, we do it on a bipartisan basis, and it's doable.
What can be done in the short term, in the first quarter, to reduce this budget deficit?
Well, we've got to look at the entire budget. We can't. There's no one place in the budget that you can look to. There's no line in the budget that says waste, cut here. There's waste in the budget, but it's not identified as waste, and so you got to go after it with very strong oversight, identify programs which can and should be cut. But as far as I'm concerned, that means you got to look at the entire budget, and you can't say that any part of the budget is immune from being scrutinized.
Can you talk about the legislation that you introduced to expand electric vehicle tax credits?
It's essential that we move to the electric vehicle world. It's essential that we lead that world when it comes, that we not let China, Korea, and other countries whose governments are deeply supportive of those operations and manufacturing to put us out of business. Autos are coming back in this country. We made a commitment to new batteries. We got to keep that commitment by maintaining the credit which is provided for people who buy electric vehicles. That credit will run out when each manufacturer hits 200,000 vehicles, and we ought to extend that to at least 500,000 vehicles so that the manufacturers know there's certainty there that there's going to be a market. Obviously, electric vehicles are more expensive than internal combustion engine vehicles because this is a new a line of automobiles. It's always more expensive to produce the first. But as manufacturing becomes more massive, the cost will come down. But in order to get there, you got to have a continuing government partnership the way they have in China and Korea. If we don't support with government credits, with government kinds of commitments through the battery grants, if we don't support the electric vehicle industry here in the United States, we're going to see a massive loss of manufacturing in America, not because companies in foreign countries are able to outcompete us, but because those companies have the total support of their governments.